in the time of suffering for me, how I got through it is I had to come to the end of myself and say, Lord, I'm not living my life. I'm living your life through me. And no matter what obstacle comes my way, no matter what the devil will send, I've already won because you already won. And so I'm going to face this knowing that I'm a victor and not a victim.
Born to parents of Indian descent in British Guyana, Sharon Boland's life has been anything but ordinary. As a young woman, she was an international runway model whose faith quickly slipped away when she was enticed by the pleasure of the world. However, Jesus recaptured Sharon's heart, and now she's living wholeheartedly for Christ and for his kingdom. Welcome to the Significant Women Podcast. I'm your host, Carol McLeod. Significant Women is a podcast for women to gather with their personal stories and wisdom gained from the ordinary days of an uncommon life. Our goal is to simply encourage women that when you are connected to Jesus Christ, that your story matters. It matters very much. Let me tell you a little bit more about Sharon. Well, she's a force to be reckoned with. You better listen to this episode with your Bible in hand, as well as a notebook and a pen, because you are going to want to take notes. Sharon will be sharing from her heart and from the Word of God all of the powerful truth and eternal wisdom that are residing inside of her. I pray that you will soak in all that Sharon has to say and to use it as a springboard for ministry in your own life. Here's my guest, Sharon Boland. Well, Sharon, it is so great to have you. This is the first time we've actually met each other, and you're at my favorite place in the whole world. Tell everybody where you are today and why you're there.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm in beautiful West Palm Beach, Florida, on vacation with my one and only. I have one child, my daughter Grace, and she just graduated. And so this is her big trip before hitting the books and starting college in the fall.
Oh, what a great way to celebrate. I'm so glad that you took that time to celebrate your daughter and your relationship and the changing of seasons, because, sister, it's about to change.
Big time. Especially when you only have one child, and we've been so close to it. It's going to be a huge adjustment for both of us.
How's your heart doing about that? Are you bittersweet? Are you happy? Are you crying every day? How's your heart doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm preparing myself for all of this. I'm glad she's only 30 minutes away, so that's not too bad, but she will be living in the dorm. So I think for any mother, I think especially their first child, you may get used to it if you have two or three or more kids, but your first is probably a little more difficult. But I believe it's going to be good for both of us. And this is time for them to spread their wings and fly. You know, they've been in the nest for 18 years. Now it's time to go.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this, Sharon, I have five children. It never got easier. It only got harder. But you're right. This is why we raise our children, is to make a difference in the world. And so we have to let them go. It's just part of motherhood. It's part of our journey. But you, my sister, have quite the journey, you have quite the story to tell. So, Sharon, I just want you to dig in. I want you to tell us who you are, where you were born, what's happened to you in your life? What has God done in you, Sharon? Would you share that with us today?
Yes, and thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I certainly am honored to be here today. Well, just the short of it, because it's a very long story. Yes. My ancestral descent is from India. I was raised in Guyana, South America. My father, who was raised Hindu, read a tract that was printed in the United States when he was only 11 years old, and he was contemplating reincarnation, and he was afraid of the afterlife. Now, I don't know what an 11-year-old boy is doing thinking about this, but my dad is a thinker, and that was what he was pondering. And one day after school, this little tract showed up at his front door, and he read about Jesus and heaven for the first time. And, you know, in the Hindu religion, there are multitudes of gods, and he'd never heard of Jesus. So he ended up sneaking out of the temple one day, the Hindu temple, and going to a Protestant church, heard the gospel for the first time. did not tell a single soul, just came back and he said, Jesus, if you're the real God, if you're truly the real God, reveal yourself to me. And he said, the instant he said that, the peace of that surpasseth all understanding came upon him, and the fear of the afterlife left. And he knew at that moment, no Billy Graham standing by, no one asking him to come down the aisle, but he knew at that moment that Jesus was God and heaven was real. So it shows you the power of the written word in a little gospel tract that the United States of America printed and sailed across the Atlantic. You never know what God is going to do with the written word.
You know, I just love that because as a writer, you hope somebody's reading what you've written. You hope somebody's reading the download that God's given to you. But to hear your father's story and how it impacted not only him, but the generations to come. So he accepted the Lord. He's a believer now in Christ. But as a young girl, you were raised in Guyana. So tell us that part of your story.
Yeah, Guyana is a very third world tropical country, very close to the equator. Fruits in abundance, rainforest in abundance, just a beautiful country. And so being raised there with very little means, you know, we weren't wealthy by any means. My father taught Latin and French and math. And then he got called to the ministry. Also, he has a phenomenal voice. He's the first tenor to sing in the United States. So that's how we really came to America. He was invited to sing at all these types of different functions. But when the Lord called us here to America, it was a different world for us and very humble beginnings. I remember my dad getting on a Greyhound bus and just going out to minister. And my mom was left with my brother, sister, and I. And we just had to figure it out, you know, in a new country. But the Lord has opened so many doors. And I feel like being raised under that umbrella of a true man of God, where I saw my father not just preach in a pulpit, but he lived the life in the home that he preached. And he had character and he had integrity and he was a deep Bible scholar. He was always teaching me the word. We started memorizing scripture since we were 5 years old. We do have us memorizing scriptures. But as I grew in that home, it really did affect my life because, you know, train up a child in the way that they should go when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. Now, they may stray off the path like I did, but they're going to come back if you embed in them that foundation of the word and prayer and really show them and live them that character that you're teaching them. So that was very impactful. My mom and dad, both amazing, wonderful parents. So I was raised in a very sheltered home. But as I grew older, got out of high school, I got into the modeling world. I was discovered by a photographer and I began to pursue that career. And it really took me outside of that Christian shelter. And I went out full on into the world and experienced so many things. And I was actually living where I'm at right now on vacation. It's ironic that I'm talking to you today from West Palm because this is where I came. This was the city that really offered me a modeling job. I was driving back and forth to Miami and so forth. So I was living in Palm Beach. And I remember I was living in a condo and I said to God, I said, you know, I am so far away from you. I do not know you anymore. And I would like to know you again. Mm-hmm. I was alone, away from boyfriends and friends and all that. I was working. And after I said that prayer, everything went wrong. Wait a minute. I just asked God to come back into my life and everything goes wrong. But I began to get very sick. And in a matter of weeks, it was just getting worse. So I flew back to Dallas and I thought, I'm just going to get checked up by the doctor. I'll come back to my work. And little did I know, I would be dying of an illness for 2 long years, not knowing what was wrong with me and having every test done. But in that 2-year period, God would become so real to me. It's one thing to be raised in a Christian home, to be raised in church, call yourself a Christian, but something totally different for that word and that Bible and the God that we say we believe in become a reality. And he became a living reality as Christ the healer because I needed to be healed. But I needed more than just a physical healing. I needed a life transformation. I needed a resetting in my goals. I needed to have a really new infilling of the Spirit because I was so engulfed in the world. And, you know, sometimes we want God to speedily heal us, deliver me out of this, do this for me, so we can go on our merry way. But if God had healed me instantly and not allowed that to go through 2 years, I wouldn't be who I am today, nor would I be in the ministry. I had to go through a journey of a real struggle to know that the Word of God was real. And I opened the Bible. I said, listen, if you're real, then let's see if this is going to work. And I was so angry at first. Why am I dying? I'm in my early 20s. But the Word of God became so real. And as I would read it, I started to fall in love with Jesus. He became the man I was in search for, because I was always dating all these guys and finding the wrong guy. And he became the fulfillment of what my desire of my heart was. And when I fell in love with him, everything changed. My perception of love changed. My perception of life changed. And I knew in my heart I had found what I was looking for. And if I had not become sick and I wasn't on that bed for 2 years, I would have never known the reality. You know, we go to church today and we go in, we hear, you know, 5 great songs, 30-minute message. We walk out and we haven't had reality yet. We need an encounter with the living God, not just a 30-minute sermon, but we need to experience something that changes us and makes us fall in love with him more again. And that's what I went through in that 2-year period. And when I came out of it, I was miraculously healed. My testimony, I've shared it on TBN and Daystar all over the world, CBN. You can find it on my website at SharonBoland.com. But And you'll find the depth of the details of it. But in short, the Lord miraculously healed me. And after he healed me, that is when I really was about to begin to live. I wasn't living before. My life was really going to begin after that healing.
Oh, that is so powerful, Sharon. You know, I believe, of course, that our God is so big, so powerful, that he can take what the enemy meant for evil, and he can use it for an astounding good, which is exactly what he did in your life. And I hope for my listeners today, whatever you're going through, that brings you hope, that Sharon's life brings you hope, that God doesn't send suffering, but he uses it for his good and his glory. And he used it to heal your heart issues toward him so that you fell in love with him. And now look at you, you're a woman on fire for the things of Jesus Christ. And he's used your message all around. So Sharon, what would you say in a practical sense to a woman today who's listening, who's suffering? Maybe she has a prodigal, maybe she's been betrayed by her husband, maybe it's a health diagnosis. How would you tell her to walk through this fire that she's found herself in?
It's interesting that you said those words and phrased it or framed it the way you did, because I, unfortunately, was betrayed by my husband, and I went through a divorce 3 years ago. So I am now a single mom. I began the ministry single. Here I am single again. And it's been difficult. I lost my father in 2018. 6 months later, I found out what my husband did. And I thought, Lord, if you're going to kill me now. How am I going to survive? Because my dad and I were very, very close. And to know I'd have to raise my child and be a single mom, and now how would people look at me as a preacher? All of those things. But what I would say to those of you that are watching that are going through a difficult time in your own life, everybody's going to go through some kind of storm or trial or disappointment or suffering. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's being revealed. So in the time of suffering, for me, how I got through it is I had to come to the end of myself and say, Lord, I'm not living my life. I'm living your life through me. And no matter what obstacle comes my way, no matter what the devil will send, I've already won because you already won. And so I'm going to face this knowing that I'm a victor and not a victim. I know that I'm going to make it through it no matter what comes my way, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So you really have to be strong mentally. And how are we strong mentally? You know, today everybody's suffering with mental illness. Okay, what is that? That's nothing but a demonic attack on the mind. And what is the mind? It's the entrance that the enemy can come in to change your behavior. Everything you do starts with a thought. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So ladies, if you entertain the wrong thought, it's going to affect every part of you. I could have gone into the depths of depression. I could have been today on some kind of medication because I couldn't handle it. So what I did is I went to my prayer closet and I had to really surrender completely to the Lord. And that's a tough one because, you know, we want to control things and we want to try to understand with our head. But sometimes you can't. You have to just say, Lord, I don't like what I'm going through, but I'm going to trust you. You're going to take me through this and you're teaching me a lesson and I am going to make it through. Then you have to position yourself to know you're going to make it through. And that's something that I would say to everyone, because I think we all go through times where we think, I'm just not going to make it through this one. This is too big. I can't handle it. It's more than I can bear. You don't know what you're made of until you go through a storm. You don't know how strong you are until your strength is tested. You don't know what you're made of until something you think you can't handle comes your way. But that's where the grace of God comes in. You know, grace is strength under pressure. That's what grace is. It's the grace of God that strengthens us under pressure, like Paul. You know, when the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. You may not get what you're asking me for instantly, that this thorn in the flesh is going to go. But you know what's going to happen? I'm going to teach you strength under pressure. My strength is going to kick in when you're pressured the most. And that's how you will learn my grace. And I feel like if we can get to that place and really throw ourselves on the Lord and put whatever we're going through upon him, he will lift us through and carry us through. Because I made it through a very, very difficult season of my life. And I made it through by the help of the Holy Spirit. And if I can make it, then anybody can make it. I promise you that. You can make it.
Oh, I love that. You know, I really believe that we look at suffering, which we know the Lord doesn't send, but we do live in a fallen world. So, you know, in this world, you will have trouble. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. But really, suffering was never meant to paralyze us or get us out of our destiny. But I think of like Joseph in the Old Testament, Sharon, how really it was the suffering, it was the bullying by his brothers, being sold into slavery, that set him into his destiny.
Yes.
That this became his finest hour. It became what he was created for. And so we need to reframe how we look at troubles. Now, again, not sent by God. He doesn't send them to us, but he uses them to comfort a world in pain. Sharon, one of my sayings is, don't waste your pain. Mm. And I see that in your life, Sharon, that yes, you've gone through hard things. Yes, you've gone through things you wouldn't have chosen, but you've gathered strength and you've moved ahead. So Sharon, share with us some of your anchor Bible verses. What are the scriptures that give you strength and joy when you're going through a hard time?
Philippians 3:13 and 14, one of my favorites. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to what lies ahead, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Just those words alone are so powerful, that everything we go through in life, we have got to forget what's behind us. Because you can't move forward looking behind you. You've got to let it go and you've got to keep on pressing. You know, right now I could write a book on my divorce and tell you how horrible my life was, or I can press on and tell you how to advance through a trial. Instead of camping out on all the bad stuff, I can tell you all the great things that God has done in the midst of the bad things. And so when Paul wrote that, if you think about it, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to what lies ahead, right? I press on towards the mark. What is the mark? You know, the mark is a standard. The mark is to becoming like Christ Jesus. I'm pressing on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Yes. So a high calling is going to cost you a high price. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. You know, we want to just kind of barely slide into heaven. Well, if you really want to know God, it's a high calling. That's the Holy of Holies calling. It's like in the tabernacle, you've got the 30, 60, 100. 30 is outside, 60 inner court, 100 is Holy of Holies. It's the same division of Christians, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. So if you want to be that company of really knowing God, to be that true overcoming, a saint of God, the bride of Christ, you've got to know it's a high calling. And a high calling is going to demand everything. We want to get by with part of the world, part of God. No, it's going to take an all or nothing commitment and devotion to God. And if you can get to that commitment, there is nothing you will face that you can't overcome. But it comes back to this. I'm reaching forth toward the mark for the prize. There is a prize. You know, a gift and a prize are not the same thing. Mm. A gift is free, but a prize will cost you something. You don't get a prize in the Olympics just because, you know, you ran a couple laps. You've got to work at it. It's going to cost you. So salvation is a free gift, but to know God and get the prize of the high calling will cost you something. And that cost is going to be your complete surrender, dying to self and saying, not my will, but thine be done, and going wherever he leads you. And I want to say this to everyone that's watching today. What I'm talking about is not an average Christian walk. It is a difficult thing to let go of everything. Mm-hmm. It is very difficult to surrender to God all of the things. You know, I think of the gifts and talents God's put within me. I think of the millions of dollars I could have made with all the gifts and talents as a leader. But, you know, I laid everything down to go into the ministry. I mean, the ministry of all things. And I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist. I mean, you people love you one day, they hate you the next. You're in, you're out, up and down. People are moody. But I have to know that what I have let go of, there is a prize awaiting me that is so much greater than money and anything on this world can buy. There is something that's awaiting me that I am pressing towards. And that's the word for us. You can't stop on the journey, no matter what you're hit with, how discouraging it may be, how many losses you have. If you stop, you will stop gaining ground. You've got to keep pressing. You've got to keep pressing. And it's only going to happen by knowing the true person of the Holy Spirit. That's the secret of my life. To not just say, I love Jesus, I love the Father, but who's the Holy Spirit? And how do I really know him as a person? Knowing the Holy Spirit, you will see that he prays through you. Romans 8, the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. He's your prayer partner. He gives you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. All of the things you need is in the Holy Spirit. And so when you get to know him as a person, everything changes, and he will give you the strength to face the journey. So that's one of my all-time signature verses, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I have many, many others. I don't know how much time we have today.
No, no.
I can camp out.
No, give us another scripture. I love what you're doing. I love how you're ministering. So give us another scripture that's just been an anchor for you in your life.
Okay, it's Psalm 91. Yeah. I memorized that when I was very young. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is that secret place? It's a place alone with him. It's a place where he overshadows us. God is light. He doesn't have a shadow, but he overshadows us with his wings. There shall no evil befall you or plague come near you. The Lord gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. There is something about that. With long life will I satisfy the one who serves me and show him my salvation. If you read the whole psalm, it is such a beautiful psalm of promise written by Moses, not David. Moses wrote Psalm 91. But if you think about that, you meditate on those promises, you fill your mind. So no matter what you're going through, those are the thoughts that you can think on. And I have so many others. The Lord hath not given me a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not by might or power, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I mean, I could sit here all day. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace was upon him. With his stripes, I am healed. Healed in every dimension of my life, Isaiah 53. But the Lord wants to do a new thing in us. And as we come back to really the foundational truth, which is the word, prayer, and worship, That's where it all happens. That's how it started for me. I'm sure it's how it started for you. Mm-hmm. And we just have to come back to that and not try to have this drive-through version of knowing God and have a little quick fix here and there. We need to make the Lord truly the Lord of our lives. And when you do, when you truly fall in love with Him, you'll honor the first two commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can only fulfill those commands as you surrender fully to the Lord.
That's right. And I love it that your conversation, Sharon, is so scripture rich. I am a word girl. I love the word of God. So right now I want you to, you know, my listeners, I call them my friends. They're mostly women in our stage of life, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. Let's convince them. Let's take a moment right now, Sharon, and convince them that memorizing scripture is not just for fifth graders. Let's talk about the power of spending time hiding God's word in our heart.
That is so true. Since my daughter was a very, very young girl, I'm talking 2, 3, 4, that age range, I taught her scriptures. And I get up early and pray 4 o'clock in the morning. She would hear me and take her pillow and lay on the ground in the closet because she wanted to be around the presence of God. And I began to teach Grace the word. And she went through a season in middle school where she was really going through some attacks in her mind from the things kids were saying. And I remember writing scriptures and putting on sticky notes all over the house. I said, these are the rules. Every time you see a scripture, you have to speak it out loud. And do you know, in 1 week, everything changed. She memorized all those scriptures, bathroom, the closet, you know, the bedroom, upstairs, downstairs. She was seeing scriptures laden all over the wall, and she had to say it. So the word of God is so powerful. And what Satan wants us to believe is that, you don't really need it. No, that's your sword. Who goes on a battlefield without a sword? You're going to be clobbered. You've got to know your word. You've got to know the Bible. And listen, when the Holy Spirit breathes on the word, you'll stay in the word for hours. But if you're reading it out of your head, you'll get bored. You have to have the infilling, and you have to have the breath, the Ruach breath of God, so the Holy Spirit will breathe on those pages. And they're God breathed, you know, inspired. And you are spirit. Remember something. We are spirit, soul, and body. You came from heaven. You are a spirit. And so your spirit is longing to be fed the word. But if you're living in the flesh, then your spirit's getting weak, and you're just, it only wants the flesh. So the more you pour in the word, the stronger you will become. And it's not just for fifth graders. It is for every saint of God, young and old alike. And the older that we grow in age, the more scriptures we should know. You're in a warfare day and night. How are you going to battle if you don't know how to, if you don't know how to use a sword? Then no matter what you face, you've got to know how to wield the sword and pull out the scriptures that pertain to whatever you're going through. And also read the word, you know, read the four gospels, get to know the life of the God you're going to spend eternity with. What was Jesus like on earth? What were his words? What's his personality about? Begin to study and read and absorb it. In our ministry, I do a lot of teaching series. And what I do is I'll take a real difficult subject. My father was a scholar, so he could talk, you know, dimensions way above my head. Now I could take that and I break it down to the ABCs. That's my specialty. So I could take a difficult subject and I can open it up and give you the basic ABC version so you can apply it to your life. So I would love to help any of you that are watching and you really want to have more in-depth teaching, or you want to really you know, have more hunger for the word. Ask the Holy Spirit, but get on our website and send me an email. We'd be happy to send you some teachings just to help build that area of your life, because you've got to know the word. You're going to live in eternity with the living word. You need to know the written word, because the written word is the living word. You just have to know it. You know what somebody says, then you know who they are. We know Jesus by what he said. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So in the show notes, Sharon will have all your contact information. Okay. So my friends can go to your website and see what's happening in your life and your ministry. But I love it that you told your daughter, if you read it, you got to declare it. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about the word of God being a two-edged sword, but I have read, I've studied that really the correct translation of that is a two-mouthed sword.
That's correct.
But what does that mean? It means it's got to come out of God's mouth and your mouth for it to do the work it was created to do. So thinking the word is where it begins. Well, reading the word is where it begins. Then we think it. And when we declare it, that's where the fighting power is, when it comes out of our mouths. Because the enemy can't read our minds, so he doesn't know we're thinking the word. But when we declare it, he has to listen to it. So
that's so true. I actually just did a teaching on the sword of the Spirit, and I talked about that interpretation is a two-mouthed sword. So yes. You think about it, that's a double portion. It's not one-sided. If you've got God saying it and you saying it's double portion, that means to whatever the enemy does, you have twice as much power coming against him. So we've got to think about what that two-edged sword really means, that double-mouthed sword. So if you think about your mouth, whatever you speak goes into the atmosphere. So if I speak words of life, that's in the atmosphere. It's going to change everything around me. If I speak words of negativity, that's going to affect the atmosphere I live in. So when you know what God's word says, you're able to change the atmosphere of where you live. It's very powerful. Amen.
Very powerful. It is. It is. Sharon is one powerhouse woman, isn't she? I just love her passion for the word of God. We'll get right back to my conversation with Sharon, but first I'd like to take just a minute and share with you everything that's going on in Carol McLeod Ministries. You know, I have prayed for many years that God would open the door for me to publish a Bible study that was complete with a leader's guide and a video teaching series, and the Lord has done just that. This summer, the summer of 2022, my first published Bible study will be released. It's titled Meanwhile. It's a Bible study on the life of Joseph of the Old Testament. Joseph's story reminds all of us that we serve a God who is able to turn all of our meanwhiles into miracles. He is just that good. Meanwhile, as I said, comes with a book to read and to fill out, questions to complete, a leader's guide, and an 8-episode teaching DVD that you can view with your Bible study, your Sunday school class, or just a group of your friends. Meanwhile is available on my website, which is carolmcleodministries.com, or on Amazon, or at my publisher's website, which is ironstreammedia.com. Now, let's get back to my conversation with the wise and passionate Sharon Bolin. So, Sharon, you know, the name of the podcast is Significant Women, where we tell each other stories. But one question I always like to ask is this: what other women have deeply impacted your life? Who have your role models been?
Wow. Good question. Well, definitely my spiritual mom, Charlotte Hannah. When I was coming out of the world, she and I connected, and she's much older than I am. And she has really imparted so much of the word to me and just life lessons, because she lived in the world for a long time. You know, my mom and dad didn't really live in the world. So me going out was different for them, but she could relate to what I was going through. And she really has helped to build my faith and help me as a person to really come into the fullness and the calling that God has for my life. And so she has really guided and shaped me throughout these years. Of course, my mother as well. I love my mother. She's always been a prophetic voice in my life, always been a strength and an encouragement to me as well. But certainly I would have to say my spiritual mom, Charlotte Hannah, has been one of the strongest women that have impacted my life personally.
Okay, so one more Bible question before we close, Sharon, but this is an interesting one. You might have to think for a minute. It's a fun okay. one. If you could have been at any biblical event like creation, the parting of the Red Sea, the birth of Jesus, Pentecost, what biblical event would you have liked to have been at?
Why did you have to ask me that? There's about 100 of them.
I know, we do.
And I can only say one. Wow. Oh, I would have to say Pentecost. And the reason I would have to say Pentecost is because as much as I love Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Daniel and all the Old Testament, they did not have the indwelling spirit until he came. And even though I would love to have been there to walk right next to Jesus for 3.5 years, when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit now came, that God wouldn't just walk beside us. God would walk inside of us. So it's closer than him walking beside you. And the beauty of it is at Pentecost, you've got 120 ordinary people, most of them just uneducated fishermen, sitting in a room praying for 10 days. And here comes the Ruach, breath of God, the wind, and the fire is cloven tongues. And note where it said, on their heads. We all need the fire of God on our head, because the problem is in your thinking. And so if God can get our thinking straight, he can get our behavior straight, because everything comes from your thought. But if you look at Peter, a coward, all the disciples fled except John. And here are cowards now becoming powerful, bold men. Think about the impact of these uneducated fishermen, especially Peter, who just denied the Lord. He's got the infilling, and now he stands outside for his first sermon, and 3,000 are saved. I mean, wow. Talk about Pentecost. And that infilling continued and continued and continued. And when you look at just 120 people, how small that company was, then they turned the world upside down. And we have continued to see the growth from 120 into millions upon billions upon billions. And now it's our time. Who is going to be the Peter of the day? Who is going to be the Paul of the day? Who's going to be the Moses and the Elijah? Who's going to be the Deborah? Who's going to be the Esther? It is our time. It is our generation. It doesn't matter if you're in your teens, your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, if you're 100 years old. If you're alive, you have a reason and a purpose to be here. And it's time for you to know what that is and live in it. Because God isn't looking at age. He doesn't give a care about it. That is nothing to him or time. He's looking at a heart that is yielded. And if we are yielded, we too can change the world that we are living in. Because God has a calling and an infilling for every one of us. And he has a purpose for every life.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. I loved it. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for ministering to us. So the way I always close, two ways. I'm going to have you pray in just a minute, Sharon, for the listeners. But we do a segment called A Few of My Favorite Things, because The Sound of Music is my favorite movie. And so I'm just going to throw some things out at you, and I want you to tell us what your favorite things are. And if you can't think of something, we'll quickly go to the next one, okay? But here we go. Other than the Bible, Sharon, what has been your favorite book?
I would have to say there's a book on the classic collection of prayer by A.B. Simpson. Mm-hmm. That book has really touched my life. I love the old writers, so I would have to say that book. It's Classic Collection of Prayer by A.B. Simpson.
I love the classic writers too, Tozer.
And, yes, Tozer, and Moody, Simpson.
Wigglesworth.
Yeah. All of those, they were amazing men of God. And to know that they could write like that, that has been inspired by the Holy Spirit.
And again, the power of words, how written words live on and on. So, okay. So Sharon, what is your favorite worship song? So when you hear the first few bars, your heart just is going to beat out of your chest and your hands go in the air and you can't hold back the song. What is that worship song for you right now?
So many. I would have to go with Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look forth in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That is a song that every time I hear, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. My beautiful daughter, Grace, sings it so well. She just sang it at our last healing service. In fact, I'm having a healing service in Portland, Oregon next month for anybody that lives in Portland. It'll be my first time there, the 16th and 17th. But yes, we just had a healing service in Dallas and she sang it. I think there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Is very anointed, but that's one of my all-time favorites.
Well, how powerful that your daughter ministers with you, Sharon. That's what a gift that is. That's a gift. Okay, what is your favorite way to rejuvenate?
You know, people like to go, like I'm on vacation right now. I don't go on many. I work a lot. But for me, I like to just get alone and just talk to the Lord, meditate on his word. It's not necessarily a time of study. It's just getting alone and listening to my worship music and just letting the presence and glory of God fill me. That to me is the greatest way that I rejuvenate, because I feel in ministry, you're always pouring out. You're always giving, 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 giving. It's a full-time job. And there are times that I have to stop and let the Lord just fill me. And I do so in those alone times, which are often, that I will just break away and just get in his presence and listen to the most beautiful worship. We just completed a project called Surround Me a couple years ago, and it's an instrumental, 45 minutes. And in fact, I sleep with that. But, you know, I'll turn on music of that nature that really just exudes with the glory of God. And that's really how I get refreshed.
I love it. Do you have a favorite Bible teacher or a favorite preacher, pastor who's really spoken into your life or that you listen to a lot?
Yeah, outside of my dad, I have to say Reinhard Bonnke was very instrumental in my life. Right before I was stepping into the ministry, I had no idea how it would start, and I ran into him at a hotel, and I said, Brother Bonnke, could you pray for me? Because I have no idea how to start preaching. And he said, young lady, go to the street corner if you have to. And I said, okay, I can do that. And he said, I see a great calling on your life. I'm going to pray for you. And when he did, the power of God hit me. And I ended up having a radio program, a TV program. And he was a guest when I stepped into the ministry. So I have listened to so many of his messages. And outside of my father, he has been very instrumental, very humble man of God, as my dad was, but very power-filled. So he has impacted me greatly.
Yeah, I believe that Reinhardt was the one who said, let's pummel hell and populate heaven.
Yeah, he did.
I love that, yeah. Well, it has been an incredible delight. As I said, we're going to link your website and some of your teachings in the show notes, but thank you for joining me today, Sharon. And before we go, would you pray for my listeners?
Oh, I'd love to.
Thank you.
Blessed Jesus, we love you and praise you and thank you so much. We thank you for your presence here today. We know that you are more than able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond everything we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So, Lord, we just lift up all of the listeners and viewers today. You know everyone by name, and they are written in the palm of your hand, and you love them. Lord, I pray for all of these wonderful ladies that you will fill them again with your spirit, empower them again, put a fresh fire and a hunger to know you and to serve you. I thank you that you will wake up the dreams and the visions that have been dormant on the inside of them, and that you will open new doors for their lives. We thank you, God, no matter what they're suffering with, struggling with, going through, no matter all the challenges and oppositions, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So we will stand and declare as women of God that it is our time to come forth. Thy word declares in Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Gross darkness will cover the earth, but your light will shine. It is time for our lights to shine. So Lord, I pray that these precious women will rise up and take their position in the kingdom. Stand up with fully armored women of God and knowing how to wield the sword of the Spirit to destroy every enemy in their path. Raise up the Esthers, raise up the Deborahs, raise up these mighty women of faith that know how to seek God with their whole heart and know how to wield that sword so that they never lose a battle. We pray, oh God, that you would fill them right now and anoint them. I thank you, God, for this broadcast, that you would just touch my precious new friend and that you would anoint her and fill her, and let this broadcast just open up doors that it will grow and it will expand from the east, the west, the north, and the south, where multitudes and multitudes of women will hear the word of faith, and just hearing it will start a new season in their lives, and they will fulfill their great destiny. So we thank you that everyone today that's sick in body who needs a healing, that it is not by might or power, by thy Spirit, and you are the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will quicken their mortal bodies today. Everyone who's struggling with all kinds of infirmities, we thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. So let your healing presence just touch them right now. Everyone who's struggling with fear and anxiety, you're the Prince of Peace. So we declare peace be still to the midst of this storm. Peace be still right now. And thank you that every prodigal child will come home. Problems in the family, Lord, that they're going through, it will be solved, and you will begin to do miracles, Lord. Miracles in these families, miracles in their home lives, with their spouses, with their children. We're believing, God, that new things are happening and that you're going to heal household families. I just feel that really strong. A lot of broken families that are watching, God's going to heal and bring restoration. We thank you for restoration. Thank you, Lord. And we're just praying a blessing on this broadcast, Lord. And we just thank you that your perfect will is being done in the earth. And we will declare your word and see mighty signs and wonders follow us. Equip us, O God, and position us in the kingdom with strength and power to do and fulfill the calling upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon. Well, I really hope that Sharon's story gave you great hope today. I also hope and pray that when you heard about her love and knowledge of the Word of God, that it inspired you to hide God's Word in your heart. Thank you for joining me this week on Significant Women. I hope that you'll share this episode with your friends. You can do so on social media or in an email. Just copy and paste and send it to a friend that you think this episode might bless. And then, if you would just take a minute and leave a review, a few words of encouragement on any of the platforms where Significant Women is available. It's such a blessing to us when you leave a review. It really helps us promote this podcast. My friend, I want you to remember on good days and on bad days, on the easy days of life and in the challenging days of life, which are inevitable, that you're significant. You're not significant because of the number on a scale, because of the money in your bank account, or because of how your children behave, but you're significant because you've been made in the image of your Creator God. He has stamped you with His power. He's given you His mind and His heart, and He has assured you that when you go to Him, that in His presence, there's always fullness of joy.